listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
We are going to be launching into our message today. One of the places we will be is in Psalm 13, so if you'd like to turn over there, that'd be great. Some of what I'm about to say, this is my disclaimer. I don't want it to be interpreted as an attack on the church in general. I'm not launching a reformation of any sort, maybe. It's more about my experience and what happens when people get involved in the life of a church and they start doing stuff and the prevailing culture tries to form you into something that's more a model of an individual than it is a model of Jesus. And so, as a kid, I don't know, did I just die? Did I die? So you see, the police are on me already. One of the things I learned is that when you go to church, you're supposed to be happy. Right? You go and people say, how are you doing? The answer is, I'm doing great. Right? Well, the problem is, on our way to church, we weren't great. Matter of fact, we weren't just not great. We were in freakish misery. We were having all sorts of trouble going at each other. And at some point, it's like, this is terrible. And so we get to church. It's like, everybody, you better not be talking that way to your brother. You better not be doing this. And make sure you smile when we get out of this car. And so, okay, now, how are you? I'm fine. And there's like, it's a little bit overdramatic, but it's one of the reasons my wife and I don't drive to church together in the same vehicle. Is because if anything can go wrong on the way to church, it's going to go wrong. And there's nothing so antagonistic as me on a Sunday morning right before on the road to church. But in a lot of ways, what I'm talking about goes more than just being able to answer how are you doing rightly or congruently with how you feel. It goes towards, you know, what do we do when we're going through the storms of life? I mean, it's easy when we're going through the good things, but we can celebrate and people can be excited with us and there's joy and there's passion and there's happiness. But what happens when we're going through the valleys? What's our attitude at that point? What's okay? Well, I learned at a young age, not from something my parents taught me, but from interacting with other Christians, that if I said how I was really feeling, how are you doing? Things suck right now. It's really bad. It's like, oh. You'd get the, I'll pray for you. And it's like, what's wrong with him? He gave the wrong answer at church. You're not supposed to say that. It's like, you know, what if I said, you know, I'm really wrestling with doubts about who I am as a person and who I am as a man. And I know God's there, but he hasn't talked to me in years. It feels like I'm talking to the ceiling. Oh, and people don't know what to do with that because it's uncomfortable. You know, joy and happiness and peace are nice emotions. What about the ones that are not so nice? As a Christian person, can we feel those and express them? Depends where you are. In some places, that's not okay. You have to take that anger emotion because anger is always wrong, right? No. But in some ways, we take those emotions that are deemed negative and we Christianize them. And when we're going through that, we come up with nice Christian platitudes. When people are going through hard things, just choose joy. Just choose joy. Okay. So my loved one just died. I'm struggling with all sorts of doubt and wondering and loneliness and kind of ticked off at God. And I'm choosing joy. You better duck. That's what I have to say. When we don't know what to say, when someone's going through a hard time, don't say anything. Even if you want to, oh, I just want to comfort them, then don't talk. Because in the, I just want to say something, you're going to say something dumb. Honestly, we can all do this. The very presence of being able to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm with you, can be so significant. If you're not going to say something at all, that's good. If you feel like you got to say something, make sure it's something that Jesus would say. Don't bust out stuff like, well, you know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. No, that's a U2 song. Jesus does not, he's not moving in mysterious ways. This is, you just don't have an answer and you don't like being able to say, I don't know. So you're throwing something out there and it's not helping me. Thankfully, we have an example in Scripture that it's okay not to be okay. Not to camp out there, but also to know, here's where we are, not in denial. God, you're my hope. So, Allie.
Hi.
Hi. So, what's happening with you?
Good question. Well, I feel like last time we saw you guys, we were, when we left Reno and we moved to Los Angeles, we were very excited. Anthony and I were full of dreams, very idealistic. We were going to go to the big city. We were going to change the world. And that didn't happen. And we were really surprised. Like, hey, did we do something wrong? I thought we heard you, God. I thought you told us to go. And so then we kept persevering. We've been there for about 4 years. And there has been a lot of fruit, but there has also been a lot of struggle. And in this last season in particular, it's been more of a valley than a mountaintop experience. So for us, it's hard to make friends. It's hard to build community. Personally, I've been going through a lot of physical issues as well. And so just being in a lot of constant pain, getting my spine and my knees worked on. And so feeling like, I remember like leading a small group a while back and just being like, oh, just grit your teeth. Like it hurts so bad in this moment, but just choose joy, smile, make it work. And that's just not a great place to sustain over the long haul, because it becomes less about where I was not choosing joy and being truly happy. I was choosing joy and putting on a smile or like a facade so that I could be the good Christian that people needed you to be. And I found myself seeming to just kind of spiral darker and darker because I couldn't connect the Jesus that I had grown up with where I was currently at and what I was experiencing.
Sure. Now, what do you, will you give a little background what you do for your job?
In my job, I work for a church. I work for a church denomination, this church's denomination. And I work in their communications team. So I get to do a lot of writing, a lot of social media, and a lot of marketing, fundraising for missions and disaster relief situations around the world so that we can bring the love and hope of Christ to dark, desperate situations in a real, non-fake way.
Yeah. And so some of you may think that sounds like a really great job. And I think it is. And both Anthony and Allie are great people for the job that they do. However, it's no secret within our denomination, within Foursquare's culture, headquarters is deemed to be one of the most difficult places to work, because not just the people dynamics, but any human organization is infiltrated with and targeted by the enemy with darkness to attempt to gum things up to keep them from working. Bureaucracies are not just because people are funny and incompetent and unable to accomplish things. Bureaucracies happen because of people, but also because dark spiritual forces attempting to keep things from working right. That's what they do. It's easy to blame it on, well, it's Washington. I've seen so many great people go to Washington, and they get caught in the middle of this machine that's much bigger than just the organization. There's dark forces at work underneath it. And, you know, for us, we believe there is an enemy, and he's working to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not just on the individual level. It's on the macro level. So when I had friends who lived in L.A., and I said, I've got two people very dear to me who are moving to Los Angeles. They're going to work at headquarters. And one guy actually said, these people are dear to you, and you're going to let them work at headquarters? And I said, well, one of the things we exist to do is to help people find what God made them to do. And they're pretty phenomenal. I'm sad that they're moving to Los Angeles, but yeah. And so some of this machine that you're dealing with, it's not just the organization. It's the spiritual dynamic as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I would like to read Psalm chapter 13. And I would encourage you to take time in the next month or so to read through some of the Psalms. And when you start finding out these Psalms say stuff like this, this is actually stuff that the early church would gather and sing together. Okay, we just sang, I'm set free. It's good. We celebrate that. This is what they sang here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That song is in a minor key. I guarantee you that. What do you say to this guy? Choose joy. How long will you forget me? Have anybody ever felt forgotten by God? Come on. Really, God? I know of all your promises. I know you've done good things. But I'm not feeling it right now. This is why one of the problems with living on the emotions, the feel-good emotions of our relationship with God, is they're not always there. And if we equate, I really felt God with his presence, or I feel so on fire for God, whatever that is. I'm on fire. Our preoccupation with burning things. I'm on fire for God. When the feeling goes away, what do? Something must be wrong. Must be doing something wrong. I got to get the feeling back. It's not a feeling. Whether you feel God or not, he's right in you. So how are you processing through this valley?
That's a good question, and one that I am still processing.
I know. Now, we were talking about sometimes, and it's much more comfortable as firstborn perfectionists. We identify it in a lot of ways together. And we like to be competent, and we like to be confident. We like to know what we're talking about. Yes? Anybody else besides me, you enjoy this? Other people, you just like to wing it? I don't know who you are. But there's times when God will work in us out of our dependence on him, when we haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel. We're in the middle of the tunnel. And he says, okay, now I'm going to work through you. So how are you in the middle of this?
I definitely feel like God is still at work, even when I feel down. To put it frankly, I think that there are moments where sometimes I just have to, remind myself, where has God brought me in the past? Because that's the only thing that's going to get me through to the future. Because in these times where I'm like, God, I don't feel you. I don't hear you. Does that mean you're not there? No, it doesn't mean he's not there. And how do we know that? How do we know that God is always there? Because he tells us over and over and over and over in the scriptures, so many references from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You can see that God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And God's not a liar. And because God is not a liar, I can claim that promise as truth. And I can say, okay, God, you are with me, even if I don't feel you. You are with me, even if I don't see you. You are with me, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. You're never far. You're always close. And also, in addition to taking that idea of you're always with me, I think it's good for myself to follow the example that we see in Psalms. And it's you see the psalmist throw his hands up and say, hey, what's going on, God? Are you here? Did you abandon me? I'm stuck in clay. I'm sinking. I'm drowning here. Hello? And sometimes I feel like that, like, I'm drowning here. Hello? And I can see the end of the Psalms passage, and it always ends with him celebrating something that God has done in the past. He says, I will remember what you've done. So for me, a really practical thing that I've been doing through this season is, like, you have to stay rooted in that truth that he'll never leave you, but also think about your personal life. You're here in church. That probably means God's done something for you in the past. What was it? Write it down. Think about it over and over and over. Tell other people, and then invite other people to tell you what God did for them. I can't tell you how many times I've been encouraged by friends, by church, just engaging with others and hearing their stories about God at work. And I'm like, wow, he's awesome. And so I have to go back to those moments and say, I know you're real because I saw you here. I know you're real because I saw you here. I know you're real and you're always with me because I saw you here, here, here. And I can find throughout my life these pinpoints of times that he definitely didn't forsake me. So in the moments when I don't feel like there's any hope, I look back. And that's how I get the momentum to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a, when you're living in the times of life that you despair, there's no hope, but you're just done. Your memory can get a little funky. It's hard to think of anything other than what's happening right now. And when I can't get past that, having the outside perspective of other people who will reflect for me. Hope up here. Perspective up here. It's helpful. God answers our prayers in the middle of the, my God, why have you forsaken me? By sending people into our life. He gives us a tangible sense of his presence, but he also sends people as his representatives. This is why we say, as Hillsiders, everywhere we go, we're taking a little piece of Jesus with us. When we encounter heinous situations in the world, think God, do something. He said, okay, and he sent you. Not to have all the answers, but just to be. Because your presence in those situations is a help. It makes things better automatically. You can look at yourself and say, how is the heck is that me in this situation? Yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So for us, being able to, I don't know if you journal or if you're a man, you gurnal, you know, you have something like that. But you can look back on times in your life when God has done something and to make a big deal out of those things, because when our memories are fading in that moment, it can seem like, oh, no, that wasn't real. I made that up in my head, or it wasn't that significant. But if we can go back and rehearse this, we're transported to the time when God did something significant and when he did do something transforming and he did something that was rescued me out of a hole that was like this. And we say, this is how I feel, God. These are my emotions. This is what I'm going through. But this is the reality. You're good. Your unfailing love never changes. So even though this is my circumstance, this is my reality. I'm here, but I'm believing for this. So would you recommend, or how are you choosing to live authentically in the middle of this and not having to put the choose joy smile on your face?
In order to live authentically, it definitely is difficult for someone like me who is very much an achiever. And so I always want to be the best in my category. And so the first step to living authentically is admitting to myself that I'm not the best at this. And that's okay. And to admit to myself that not only am I not competent in this area, but I am dependent on God. And sometimes on others. And it's hard to do that because you just want to do it. I want to do it myself. I want to get it done. I want to be that go-getter and accomplish all the things. And I can't always do that. And so that's the first step, is telling myself, like, you know, you need help. And that's not the worst thing in the world. And another thing to living authentic is not just being authentic between you and God, although I think that's a lot of where it starts, but it's being authentic with us and people. And so being able, as an example, sitting in the small group that I lead, and I've been trying for weeks to try to be there for these people. They're going through a lot harder things than I am, really intense family stuff, really intense health stuff. And I was sitting there like, gosh, why am I complaining? Like, their lives are so much harder. But I'm struggling right now. And so I had to live authentically. I had to admit that to my group. And I was just like, guys, I'm really in a lot of physical pain right now. Like, you know, I'm having a hard time sitting here. And I just want to, like, tell you guys that. And one of the guys in my group, Mike, he just suddenly stood up and he was like, let's pray. Let's pray for you right now. I didn't ask for the prayer. Someone else initiated it, and then they gathered around me, and they put their hands on my back, on my knees, on my shoulders, and everyone in my group prayed for me like that, like on the fly, unasked. And I have not been in that much pain since that night, But if I had not lived authentically and I hadn't admitted this weakness that I was embarrassed about in the midst of what seemed like way worse suffering, then I would have never experienced the love of those people around me who did something for me in a time that I really needed it and didn't really feel like I could ask. And I wouldn't have felt God bring a lot of healing and restoration to me physically either.
Can I push a little bit on that?
Yeah.
With when you didn't feel like you could ask, what were the thought processes you were going through?
I think we all have that inner monologue. You know, there's things that runs through your mind. And so for me, thinking that I couldn't ask, I was thinking, hey, you're the one that works for the church. Hey, you're the one that should have it together. Hey, these people's lives are way harder than yours. Hey, who are you to think you're worth this prayer? Have you really been a good Christian lately? Are you really diving into the scripture as deep as you should? Are you actively seeking God? You don't deserve this healing.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what the devil sounds like when he talks to you.
Yep.
Dead serious. All kidding aside, that's what he sounds like. Should and shouldn't are the real S words. You should be doing this. Like, ugh. Put another weight on. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Another weight on you. At some point, you're carrying 150 pounds of should on your back. Serious. S-H-O-U-L-D. God's voice never condemns. Never condemns. He never says, oh, you're experiencing this, Allie, because you gave me 5 minutes in the last 3 months, and so now you're going to pay. That's not how God sounds. So when you hear that voice, which sounds like, you know, for me, it's either sounds like my own voice or I had a teacher that was very negative in her motivational style. And it always, sometimes her voice rings in my head. But to recognize, okay, that's not how God talks to me. So no, I reject that. God welcomes us back in. He doesn't say it's time for you to work your way back to me. He says, right here, you're there. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the middle of all of this, there's a really uncomfortable thing that happens when you realize the version of yourself that you thought was going to be you for the next however many years you have is actually God's going to do an extreme makeover, a total renovation of you. And it's a really scary thing because you end up losing what you thought you were. Maybe it's a job title. Maybe it's, you know, something, some characteristic of yourself that, you know, this is just who I am. And the remaking process is one of the most uncomfortable processes in the world. But I don't want to take on any image for myself that is different than what God's image for me would be. He's got a much better idea as the one who made us what the final result's going to be. I can think this is the final result. He said, no, we're in process here. This is from a previous remaking. He's continually rebuilding and renewing. And so as we were having conversations yesterday, I'm thankful God never wastes our pain. He doesn't make light of it. He doesn't put us through things in order. I'm going to use this because I really need to teach Pete a lesson later on. So, Lou, you're going to suffer right now so you can share with him. It's like, no, that's not what he does. Because God is not the originator of the pain. We live in a world that's broken. Sin and death and destruction. That is where all the junk comes from. But God and his redeeming power steps in and he can even redeem the greatest losses, the biggest hurts we've had. And as I'm listening to Allie talk yesterday, I'm thinking through, oh, you're remaking. You're making things new. And I can share the story of, you know, here's where, you know, God started this process with me. And it was in like utter agony for however long. But the other side of it is so much more encouraging. And I think maybe that's what God's doing with you. And she's like, well, that sucks. You know, it's really painful. But because I know that there's hope on the other side, that this isn't going to be maybe so bad. It's like, well, why don't you, we were talking about, why don't you just quit? No, at some point, it's just wrong to quit. It's like, no, in the middle of hard things, people quit all the time. And they stay stuck in that hard thing. And they never progress forward. And we're able to push back a little bit on each other with, why don't you quit? You say, well, it's not an option. Okay, why isn't it an option for you to quit? Why do you keep going? Even in the middle of the suckiest suck.
Why do I keep going? You guys know that I like The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
It's like a core to my existence.
What did you incorporate that into your wedding in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, I did.
Yeah?
I walked down the aisle to the Breaking of the Fellowship theme song.
Nice.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And Anthony and I met in a Lord of the Rings class, so it was appropriate. But thinking about why don't you quit, I think back to the scene in the Two Towers with Sam and Frodo. And if you don't know the story, it's these two small people on a big, big journey to destroy the great evil. And they are sitting there in the middle of a terrible situation, and they're wondering, like, why? What do we fight for? And Frodo says, like, what are we fighting for? Like, why do we keep going? Why don't we just quit? And Sam, the brave, looks at him and he says, because it's only a passing thing, this shadow. And so why I keep going is because I know that. And if it's true in Lord of the Rings, how much more true is it in God's story? That it's only a passing thing, the shadow. And while the shadow may encompass every direction that I can see in right now, I know that that's just a false reality. It is a passing thing. Clouds come, clouds go. Cloud, the same cloud is never over you, always, all the time. Like, we see that in nature constantly. Clouds come, clouds go. It's the same thing when we're in this dark season. We can keep going because it's just a passing thing. And we know that, again, because God's promised never to leave us. He's promised never to forsake us. And if God is always with us, it can't be always dark. There's always hope. There's always light. And so I keep going, knowing that in the middle of the tunnel, where it's the darkest, that there's going to be a light out there. And I just have to make it. And I'm not going to be able to make it on my own. I know that there are people who ran through the tunnel before me. I know that there are people running through the tunnel behind me. And I want to be able to play my part in God's story where he passes me the torch and says, are you going to run through the tunnel and be the light for the people behind you? Right. I don't want to just drop it on the ground and miss my opportunity to take that part that he's asked me and offered me to play. And it's not like he's going to suddenly say, oh, you know, you missed your chance. Sorry. No, he is a God of many, many, many chances. We can always repent. We can always come back. And I take great hope in that, even when I do drop the torch and even when I do mess up, that he doesn't leave me in the tunnel. He brings people behind me to carry me forward, and he gives people ahead of me to look to say, God worked in that person's life. He's going to work in my life. He's going to work in their lives. And that gives me hope. Mm-hmm. And as long as there is hope, there may not be joy, but there is hope. And I can make it through that dark season mm-hmm. with God.
And in none of that does it minimize pain. None of it does it deny the reality of loss. And none of that does it try to get caught up in the cliche of, you know, God's got a plan. Yeah, he does right now. And I don't care what the plan is. I just want the pain to stop. Say, okay, in the middle of all of it, here's my reality. I choose to continue to trust. Still, I will put my hope in this particular place. And the reason for that is because there is no other alternative. Not because there's not other things you could do, but like Peter said, when all the disciples bailed on Jesus except for the 12, and Jesus said, aren't you guys going anywhere? And he said, this is actually really uncomfortable, Jesus, because your teaching is really hard, and it's really hard to follow, but where else do we get the words of life? Where else would we go? That's where we are. As we wrap up, I want to put just a little note on this. I know, as I in talking like this and in talking about things like this before, I've had people would come up and say, you know, you really can't talk that way because it's really choosing a negative way of life and you're declaring a negative confession. And it's like, no, it's not. It's saying, in reality, it's this is bad. My hope is in Jesus, but the reality right now is bad. And just because it's bad, it makes you uncomfortable, doesn't mean we can't at least acknowledge that it's bad and pray and hope to move forward past it. But not to have to put on a smiley face to endure, in addition to the pain you're going through, the fakeness of having to pretend it's not hurting. Everything's great, everything's fine, everything's wonderful. No, it's not. It's okay. Our hope's in Jesus. He's not going to leave us stuck here. Let's keep going. Allie, will you pray for us?
God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you for everybody who came through these doors and joined in. I pray that you would allow us to be people who choose hope, even in the dark seasons. I pray that you would allow us to live authentically, even when it's hard to admit to ourselves and to others. I pray that you would allow us to be a light in the dark places. And I pray that you would keep that light aflame, no matter how small it might get, that you would continue to fan it and fan it and fan it until it can grow. And God, I pray that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. Allow us to not be okay so that we can be remade, so that we can become more and more like who you created us to be, instead of staying in the places that we may want to choose because it's easier than going through and fighting. And God, I pray for everybody here, just such a sense of peace and a sense of purpose, so that when we walk forward, we know that we belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah. You can keep your heads down for just a second. If you today are in the spot where you're in the valley, you're in the tunnel right now, and you want to say, God, that's me. I want to choose hope. I just want to invite you to lift up your hands. Nobody looking around. It's just between you and him. Say, I want to choose hope. In the middle of this, show me how to choose hope, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are never far from us. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. I pray right now with every person with their hands up who's going through this, who's in the middle, that you would be the peace and comfort that goes beyond circumstance. You would be the one who guards their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and lead us through to freedom, to hope, to life, and give us the strength and courage to persevere in the middle of it. And put your hands down in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.